Eastern world, it is exploding, violence flaring, bullets loading. You're old enough to kill, but not for voting. You don't believe in war, but what's that gun you're toting? And even the Jordan River has bodies floating. But you tell me over and over and over again, my friend, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction. Don't you understand what I'm trying to say? Can't you feel the fears I'm feeling today? If the button is pushed, there's no running away. There'll be no one to save with the world in a grave. Take a look around you, boy. It's bound to scare you, boy. And you tell me over and over and over again, my friend, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction.
It is interesting to come to these airwaves each night. For a guy who was not in the music of that era of the 60s and the 70s and the 80s, etc., etc., I seem to find a way to, almost at the last moment, have something strike me. And tonight, this piece of music struck me. For reasons that probably 15 to 30 minutes from now, you will begin to understand. Good evening. Jeffrey Bennett here for The Edge. Glad to be here, I think. It's been one of those days. I had an appointment at 9 o'clock this morning that my wife decided to go with me on. And what I figured was going to be a half an hour turned out to be a two-hour appointment. And it opened up some real interesting things in my eyes. And so I went through about 4 hours of some stress, but some of it was investigative and came to some conclusions. But those things put a wear on you, as well as everything else we're doing today. I posted next to nothing on websites last night. I just did not have it in me. I got off the air, and about an hour or so later, an hour and a half later, I took off and went to see some friends of mine that I'd not seen in about 3 months, and because of this virus, and was ecstatic that all three of them were working. And so for Haley and Sarah and why do I blank on her name, Gabriella, it was a very joy to see them all. I made a comment in yesterday's program about the House of Representatives' latest, I'm going to call it a faux pas to be polite. I'd rather call it an F up, but, you know, we're on family radio here. And I mentioned to you that Pelosi had unveiled the demagogue's new $3 trillion coronavirus aid package, which included up to $6,000 direct cash for every household. Well, of course, it set up a clash with Trump and the Republic rats, but, you know, that's the same garbage we were told last time. And it just slipped on through, baby. $3 trillion, a so-called coronavirus aid package, right? She's encouraging Congress to go big with the aid to cash-strapped states and struggling Americans. Some of those cash-strapped states include places like California, who has just stuck it to their populace six ways to Sunday. Now, this particular one is called the HEROES Act. Provides nearly $1 trillion for states, cities, and tribal governments to avert layoffs. Another $200 billion in hazard pay for essential workers, according to a 90-page summary. It will then go on to offer another $1,200 direct cash aid to individuals, up to $6,000 per household. There's $75 billion more just for virus testing. Well, a vote is expected this Friday in the House, but the Republicans said it's going to be dead on arrival in the Senate. Majority Leader Steny Hoyer said yesterday that it appears the sweeping Democrat-led bill will be ready to call lawmakers back to Washington for the vote. And let's see, this was introduced when? Yesterday? Tuesday? That would have been May the 12th. Let's keep this date in mind, okay, for a short period of time. So Hoyer goes on to say this is an unprecedented time in our history. Says that Congress needs to act in unprecedented ways. Of course, Pelosi said during her spoken remarks on the bill yesterday afternoon, inciting the name of the legislation, that we must have empathy for our heroes. Who writes the script for this pig? Now, everybody out there, I've got a picture of her standing there with her little scarf, which doesn't look like a mask. It looks like a piece of haute couture, you know what I mean? And one other person has got a mask on, and nobody else she's standing by who's got masks on. One guy's holding it. I will say this much. Healthcare workers, for now, they're exhausted, how stressed they are doing their jobs. I agree with that. And she goes on to say that they may lose their jobs in this economy. We must also empathize with the pain of families who do not know where their next meals are coming from and how to pay next month's rent. The legislation, of course, is heading straight into a Senate roadblock. Senate Republicans are not planning to vote on any new relief until June after the Memorial Day recess. What do you mean? They don't deserve another recess. My God, they've been on a recess for how long now? Well, McConnell says there's no urgency to act. This proposed legislation will also face backlash from Republicans and the president because it includes no more money for the Paycheck Protection Program, a relief fund set up to help businesses with less than 500 employees keep their workers on the payroll and prevent owners from losing their small businesses. Wait a minute. So less than 500 employees. So if you've got 498 employees, you're considered a small business? Well, applications for the $600 billion fund dried up just days after businesses could apply for that grant. A grant, that's something that has to be paid back, isn't it? Republicans have been pushing to continue replenishing that account. Trump is also signaling he ain't going to sign any new sweeping coronavirus package unless it includes payroll tax cuts, a stipulation that even the Republicans in Congress say they ain't on board with. The new White House press secretary, Kayleigh McEnany, said during a press briefing Tuesday that the payroll tax cut is not necessarily a condition for the president. She said, I won't get ahead of the president in negotiating, but, and I certainly won't condition any future legislation on a certain proposal, but I will say that the president has noted a payroll tax is something he's looked at, but not conditioning it on that, but noting that it's something he desires to see, and it's smart policy, she told reporters, gathered in the James S. Brady briefing room. Every worker in America would get a substantial pay raise. What, because of a tax cut? Okay. That's what she said. Says it's a regressive structure, meaning the lowest wage workers are, in fact, that ones who would be the most helped. Lower wage earners pay more payroll tax than they do income tax. So that's something the president's mentioned, not necessarily a condition. And she goes on and on. Then Pelosi claims, despite the potential for confrontation over the bill, that this is another piece of bipartisan legislation. House Republicans sound like they oppose this bill, she says. The Senate Republicans oppose this bill. That, according to CNN's Jake Tapper, said when Pelosi asserted it's bipartisan. Oh, come on. There's nothing bipartisan in Washington, D.C. It's one against the other, and that's the way it is. The White House, it doesn't sound like they're supporting the bill. That sounds partisan to me. Am I wrong? And Pelosi says, well, it may be partisan on their part, but it's not partisan on our part to meet the needs of the American people. It's called buying votes. Well, the new package, by the way, the fifth since March, is expected to carry another eye-popping price tag of more than $3 trillion. Because Trump's already signed into law nearly $3 trillion in aid approved by Congress thus far, you know. And its centerpiece, nearly one-third of the bill's total price tag, will be money to states and cities that are struggling to avoid layoffs in the face of skyrocketing healthcare costs. Maybe some of these cities and states need to lay off some of their people. They've got too damn many people working for them now. And and then those cities and states wind up having to keep adding to their retirement funds, and then they can't afford to pay the retirement, so they need to raise more money. Do you see how it goes on and on and on? Kentucky is one state like that. Illinois is another. They've had so many employees over the years, between teachers and street workers and road workers and trash collectors, and it goes on and on and on, that when they retire, the retirement funds have been mismanaged. And they're paying out so many people that the retirement funds are being drained. Of course, in this new package, they want more money for virus testing, another round of direct cash payments and unemployment benefits for Americans. Of course, she hasn't disclosed the cost. But as states weigh the health risks of reopening, McConnell said the nation needs to regroup and find a more sustainable middle ground between total lockdown and total normalcy. McConnell said on Tuesday, and he called the emerging Democratic bill a big laundry list of pet priorities, which it always is, right? Don't kid yourself. If the Republicans were in that position, they'd have their little pet priorities, too. On a conference call with House colleagues on Monday, Pelosi urged Democrats to go big, according to a person unauthorized to discuss the private caucus call, and granted anonymity. To those who would suggest a pause, I would say the hunger doesn't take a pause. The rent doesn't take a pause. We have big need. It's monumental. One provision holding up the package is how best to funnel direct cash to the households. A proposal from Representative Premia Giappel, a Democrat from Washington, a co-chair of the Progressive Caucus, could be crucial to winning votes from the more liberal lawmakers. It would provide 3 months of guaranteed paychecks for those making less than 100 grand a year, which is most of the public. Hoyer said the Giappel proposal remains under consideration, but with the Capitol still partly closed. Hoyer, a Democrat from Maryland, told lawmakers on the call that there would be a 72-hour notice before returning to Washington for the vote, which could come Friday. But Senate Republicans, they ain't in no rush to spend what could be trillions more on aid. McConnell said, "I don't think we have yet felt the urgency of acting immediately." Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer pushed back on McConnell's claims of waiting out a new coronavirus package, warning that if they slow walk more aid, they will be repeating President Hoover's tepid response to the Great Depression. The American people need their government to act strong and boldly and wisely, and the new legislation is just what this crisis demands, Schumer said. McConnell and Senate Republicans ought to heed the lessons of U.S. history, not repeat the mistakes made by Hoover that helped lead to the Great Depression, he went on. Despite McConnell's recent statement that he feels no urgency to act immediately, tens of millions of American families and workers struggling to put food on the table and afford rent and provide for their children need help from the federal government, and we must deliver it fast. Well, in a few minutes, I'm going to talk to you about the kind of help that the federal government has put together, and just when they started putting it together, you're going to be shocked. Well, McConnell said he's been in close contact with the White House addressing the aid Congress has already approved in response to the virus outbreak and the next steps. But you see, my friends, we already know that there was massive waste in that first go around. Money went to the Kennedy Foundation. Money went to museums and oh, my God. I can't even remember how many. Some of the big corporations that received funding stepped up to the plate and sent the money back and said, "We're not in need of it. Use it where it's beneficial." The problem in doing that is anybody who sends the money back, you don't know where that money's going to go once it's been sent back, huh? Well, I don't know if it happened. Trump was expected to meet yesterday with a group of Senate Republicans. "If we decide to go forward, we'll go forward together," McConnell said. His priority is to ensure any new package includes liability protections for healthcare providers and businesses that are reopening. I read a headline about an hour and a half ago, 1.4 million healthcare providers are right now out of work in this country. What does that tell you? Senate Republicans are not expected to act on any further aid until after the Memorial Day recess. That, according to senior Republican aides, another unauthorized person who would not discuss the planning. This story kind of goes on and on, but it probably isn't necessary to continue on with it. It's kind of nuts. It's more of the same babble. Uh-oh, here we go. From home, Alexander, the chairman of the Senate Health Committee, convened a high-profile hearing Tuesday with Dr. Anthony Fauci. I thought I'd be polite for once. That's not what I call him. Faust. So let's review. This is what is, in simple terms, has been proposed in the new $3 trillion coronavirus package. You try to determine which of these might really be serious. I mean, are we talking about for the people? Why is it the federal government has got to come back and support state governments? They want $500 billion for state governments and $375 billion for local governments. They want $1 trillion, one-third of the total, for state and local governments to pay essential workers like first responders and health workers and teachers. Forget that teachers are socialists anyway. Sorry if that offends, but it's reality. They want $175 billion to assist families with lost revenue from coronavirus outbreak or any other health care related expenses. $175 billion ain't going to cover squat. Lost revenue? Some people have been out of work for 2 months. And you start adding that up in the hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of people. $175 billion is going to be a drop in the bucket. But this fund will also support boosting the testing and contact tracing capabilities. They want $75 billion for housing assistance. Uh-oh, here we go. What is meant by housing assistance? Are these people that are already on the government dole, the ones that are already getting, you know, free rent and EBT cards and SNAP cards and all this other stuff? They want direct help with mortgage payments, property taxes, property insurance, and utilities. $75 billion ain't going to go far. But what, are you going to get a month out of it? $40 billion for tribal and territorial relief. I hate to say this, but I'm going to go along with that one. $25 billion more for the Postal Service. How much did they get the last time? About the same? I have friends who work for the Postal Service that tell me the biggest problem the Postal Service has, the biggest expense they have, is paying out their pension to retired carriers and postal employees. That's a different ballgame, man. That ain't got nothing to do with the day-to-day operation of the Postal Service. Of course, they want $10 billion for small businesses. They want another $10 billion to support increased demand, here we go, for food stamps through SNAP. Well, one of the ways you handle this is you get all the people off food stamps that shouldn't be getting them anyway. Illegals. Do you realize that under the Obama regime, over 1 million Muslims were brought into this country from Somalia? Think about that. We're paying for those people, for their housing, their medical help if needed, their food. You start cutting some of that garbage, pack them up and send them home. Don't let them run for public office. Don't let them get there and run for office and get sitting up in the Senate or the House of Representatives. They want They want $3.6 billion to help plan for federal elections. Why do they need that kind of money to plan for the federal election? I mean, the election's coming up in what? June, July, August, September, October, in less than 6 months. And they need money to be able to plan for it? They want $1.5 billion for broadband hotspots, especially to those struggling to get internet as schools and jobs go virtual. $5 million in technology advances for the House of Representatives. Oh, get this. $5 million in technology advances for the House of Representatives offices, including house-imaged laptops, cell phones, mobile Wi-Fi hotspots, and satellite bandwidth technologies. $6,000 checks for eligible American households. $5 million for technology advances? You've got to be kidding me. What's not in the relief package? More money for the Payment Protection Program, that's PPP, which is designed to help small businesses pay their employees and keep their businesses during the pandemic. A lot to think about there. But we're going to take this a step further. You remember a little while ago, I said, you know, we're going to make reference to this past, what was it, yesterday's date, May the 12th? You know, that they came up with this new $3 trillion aid package. They just allegedly came up with this yesterday. God knows how many pages it is. Come on, it isn't six pages. It never is. It makes one wonder how long ago that they began working on that. Let me share a story with you. I received today an email from a very old and dear friend who lost her husband a couple of years ago, which I did not find out about until a year ago. She was a broadcaster at one time. I miss her terribly. But we've stayed in touch, and we don't stay in touch on a daily basis. However, when we do stay in touch, it opens up some very interesting cans of worms for us both. And she's continued to send information to me that might not always be out there public. Minutes after this broadcast is concluded tonight, what I'm about to share with you is going to publish at federalobserver.com. It's already there. It's already locked in. It's in the time clock. It is an article which I've entitled 11 Months Ahead of Time, although it poses a question. Angie Carlson states, has the lockdown burnout driven me crazy? Am I missing something? Well, she said, I hate to have to bring this kind of stuff up, but someone sent me a link to a video, asked me to explain it. The guy who had reported finding that the U.S. government bill 748, you know, that was the coronavirus stimulus bill, the first one, was first introduced in Congress not in January of this year, January 24th of 2019. Let that sink in a minute. Did you hear what I said? The coronavirus stimulus bill, U.S. government bill 748, was introduced in Congress January 24th, 2019, over a year before the first case of the pandemic came to our shores. Huh? Now, we all have had to ask the question, oh, come on, you've seen another video. Can you believe everything you see on a video? But the guy on the video showed us, and I don't have the video, I apologize, shows us how to get to uscongress.gov and the site. Pull up Bill 748's history. See it there in black and white. So you're going to be able to prove this for yourself, and I'm providing you some links in the posted column. And so I guess what I want to know is what they in Congress knew over 1 year ahead of time. I mean, I don't expect anybody in D.C. to answer the question. I'm fully expecting to hear absolutely nothing but crickets. And my friends, I submit to you that here is where investigative journalism has died. Because back in the day, A good investigating journalist would have been looking at all of this and never turned to look the other way. So when I first began to post this, I titled it February 24th, 2019, U.S. Government Bill 748, with the subtitle, and here's what the kicker comes in. Same as the coronavirus bill of March 27th, 2020. 11 months later. Now, I'm providing you links to the coronavirus aid bill, which was recently passed that we all know about. Yeah, we got some money out of it, et cetera, et cetera. You'll be able to read the entire several hundred pages through this link. But my question is, can anyone explain this mystery to a befuddled me? The bill was written on January 24, 2019. But close to the top, on the right, above the bill, you're going to see the words, latest action modified, 3/27/2020. And it became public law number 116-136. The pandemic did not start or appear to strike until around October and November of 2019. That's the end of 2019. And that happened in Wuhan, China. And then it spread worldwide, mainly after January 2020. Or was it around then that the media reports and the broadcast began talking about it as it spread? How then was this bill written a full year before the appearance of the pandemic? Has the lockdown burnout driven me crazy? Am I missing something, Angie says? Please let me know if you can. Now, that's the basis of the text, but what you're going to see when you get below that text is a title that says Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Security Act, or the CARES Act. That will take you to a link of that first law that was signed, or the bill that was signed into law. The sponsor was Representative Joe Courtney, a Democrat from the 2nd District in Connecticut, who introduced the bill on January 24th of 2019. The committee, of course, was through the House Ways and Means Committee. I wonder if they should retitle that committee. Should they call it Any Way by Any Means? That was my addition. Now, the latest action, of course, was modified and dated 3/27 of 2020. It became public law on that date. There's a link that says all actions. It'll take you to the final. There were 5 roll call votes putting this thing together. And that bill became law. Understand that there are steps you go through legislation for something to become a law. A bill is introduced, it passes the House, it passes the Senate, it resolves its differences, it goes to the President, and in this case was signed instantly and became law. And once again, you're going to have the link to follow through, H.R. 748, CARES Act, comma, public law, et cetera, et cetera. All of this responds to the COVID-19 or the coronavirus disease that they talked about in 2019. It sounds more complex than it is, but it tells me and shows me and proves to me that this is all part of a big scam. Every bit of it. Are there people ill out there? Of course. Are there people out there ill every flu season? Yeah. These are horrendously sad times. I will be digging more deeply into this, but I wanted you to have the basis of it. Once again, I published this under federalobserver.com under the heading 11 months ahead of time. That'll pop up in about 35 minutes. And I did not want it up there until I could share it with you on air. We got a break. We'll be back. I'm going to talk about another variation of viruses and how it affected the world.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
People, maybe more. of silence.
And we are back, my friends. I got to tell you something. A lot of years on the air, 25 years on the air, and I have to say that my board operator, my producer, Michael, is the fastest and the quickest mind and the best I've ever worked with. And I mean that very seriously, my friend. Last minute, I did a switch up of the opening music. Just as this break began, I sent him a note, and I forgot to hit the send button, and I got it in just as the last ad was running and said, hey, can we switch up the music and go to Sounds of Silence? And he's right there with it. But he's starting to know pretty much my oddball way of thinking and my quickness of making switches. Maybe to some degree we'll understand why. We talk about this pandemic, or as many have called it, a plandemic. But this is not the first time that a pandemic gave rise to major changes politically. The influenza pandemic that gripped the globe a century ago helped the Nazi Party rise to power in Germany. Right-wing extremists such as the Nazis won a greater share of the votes in parts of Germany that suffered larger numbers of flu deaths during the pandemic that began in 1918. A post-World War I epidemic. Interestingly, this is all because of research conducted by the Federal Reserve Bank of New York. Gee, I wonder why they're so concerned. The link between the war and the rise of the Nazi Party held up even when the researchers accounted for factors such as past right-wing voting, regional unemployment, a city's religious or ethnic composition. The deaths brought about by the influenza pandemic of 1918 to 1920 profoundly shaped German society going forward. And the findings come amid concerns about a rise in anti-Semitic abuse fueled by this current coronavirus pandemic. The Anti-Defamation League has reported a spike in rhetoric falsely accusing the Jewish people or Israel of manufacturing or spreading the virus to maintain control over the world. Oh yeah, the Jews were similarly blamed for the bubonic plague in the 14th century, a smear that may have helped the Nazis in the 20th. The Fed researchers have found a stronger correlation between flu deaths and right-wing extremist voting in regions that had historically blamed minorities, particularly the Jews, for medieval plagues. Well, given that it was disproportionately fatal for young people, the change in demographics may have affected regional attitudes going forward. Moreover, the disease may have fostered a hatred of others as it was perceived to come from abroad. Areas with higher flu death tolls also spent less money per capita on government services than the decade following the pandemic, especially when it came to services used by young people, schools, etc. And that finding comes as governments around the world consider how to shore up their economies during the deepest recession since the Great Recession. We're talking about the economies right now, today. Given a number of economic challenges, my friends, we're maybe cautious about the interpretation of the results. And nevertheless, the study offers a very novel contribution to the discussion surrounding the long-term effects of these kind of pandemics. Very interesting commentary, strangely enough, from the New York Federal Reserve. I wonder what they've got up their sleeve. It's pretty appalling to me, all of it. I what do we got here? I didn't go to the right place. It's okay. We're all right. Occasionally, we'll work on a program. Today's one of those programs that all that I've done up to this point in time is what I'd planned for this program. As a matter of fact, that's all I'd planned for this program today. You know, and yet everything we're looking at is just so appalling. Once again, here's something else that we did not cover earlier, because the article that I shared with you did not cover this specific situation. It's referred to as Pelosi's coronavirus bill. And this was published late yesterday afternoon. Includes billions of dollars for what they call, get this, eligible illegal aliens. What do you mean eligible illegals? If they're illegal, they ain't eligible for squat. What I would do is, all right, you want to put up $1 billion or so to help the illegals? Buy them a one-way bus ticket back to where they came from. And if some of those illegals and those buses have to travel over the open waters like the Atlantic or the Pacific, whatever happens, happens. I'm sorry. I don't care. I am sick and tired of having to support people from the rest of the world. And we now have people in government who are wanting to hire more people with visas to perform certain functions when we've got all these millions of people in America that are out of work, many of them highly qualified. I mean, this is unbelievable. So here's another take on this next stimulus, the so-called HEROES Act. Brings relief to the state and the locals, the individual citizens suffering from the economic downturn caused by the pandemic. Of course, all of this, you know, gets Bill Gates and Dr. Fauci off the front page for the day. The legislation, if it is signed into law, will allow individuals who file taxes with a TIN, a taxpayer ID number, to be eligible for stimulus money, which would include certain illegals who don't have a Social Security number. Huh? The bill also would provide millions of dollars in grant funding to sanctuary cities, those who refuse to cooperate with federal immigration authorities. And it would call for a mass release of aliens in Immigration and Customs Enforcement custody. You people have got to be kidding me. So, in other words, you see, it really doesn't have a damn thing to do with caring about the American public. Once again, I'm telling you, and I've told you before, everything the Democrats are doing in that House is designed for one thing, to garner votes for them. Oh, that's right. The demagogues lost a seat in Wisconsin yesterday, and oh my God, they lost at least one seat in California yesterday. Isn't that interesting? Maybe some people are starting to get fed up, you think? Oh, and see, this is what's interesting. We go back to a comment I made before when I specifically mentioned a date and, gee, how long did it take to put the bill together? Do you know how many pages are in this current bill? How long ago has it been since they released the first money? A month? And in that approximately a month, they've developed another 1,815-page bill. Includes billions of dollars in payments to certain individuals living in the United States unlawfully, illegally. They're invaders. Do you get it? So here's this picture. Nancy with her little pink outfit on and her little pink scarf, which is never over her ugly face and nose. So there's somebody else standing back here with his mask on, holding his hands in front of himself. Another guy off to the side with a mask on, looking at the other three like, well, how come they don't have their mask on? There's Steny Hoyer. He's holding his mask. Next to him is Representative Queasy Mifumi. No mask. His wife, Tiffany McMillan Mifumi. No mask. Representative Jaime Raskin, Speaker of the House, Representative Pelosi, and Senator Chris Van Hollen. They pose for a group photo with social distancing after a ceremonial swearing-in at the U.S. Capitol in Washington, D.C. Who was getting sworn in on May the 5th? Huh? Ay, fey. please. So, okay, the previous coronavirus relief package, the one we spoke about during the first half hour, the CARES Act, only allowed those who filed with a Social Security number to be eligible for stimulus money, leaving out the undocumented aliens. You mean the illegal invaders? But the current bill would also retroactively provide those using TINs to obtain funds from the CARES Act. The first one. This is unbelievable, people. I'm telling you, they're trying to buy votes. We could go on and on and on and on. There is another article from Numbers USA President Roy Beck. Democrats across the country are fighting to give coronavirus aid to illegal aliens. And it goes on and on and on. It's simply appalling to me. Simply appalling. And the prisons around the country are letting people out that were behind bars for rape, for murder, whatever. Oh, isn't that neat? Some of the rapists that have been let out have gone back out on the street and they're doing what? One of them went out and raped two young kids within 48 hours after having gotten out of prison. And interesting, because that's exactly what he was in for. Late last night, I went to do some things at Federal Observer. I don't remember what, but I reviewed it and I realized that another video of Dr. Judy Mikovits has now been banned. I'm thankful that I played that stuff last week or the week before with the audio clip. You can still find it in the RBN archives. I can't remember the date offhand, but they I titled it Dr. Judy Mikovits and Harry Lime. So you'll find it. I think it was in one of last week's programs. This out of the New York Post. Social media networks are scrambling to remove viral plandemic conspiracy videos. They put it in terminology of video singular. 26-minute plandemic movie has been viewed and shared widely on YouTube and Twitter and Facebook and Vimeo, and clips of it circulating on Twitter earlier this week. And the clip, apparently an excerpt of a larger documentary to be released this summer, makes a number of what the media is claiming are bogus, unproven, or misleading claims, like that the coronavirus pandemic was created to make profits off of vaccines. Gee, and who's out there trying to make the profits off of vaccines? Bill Gates. But in defiance of the advice of medical experts, suggests that masks can make people sicker and that sheltering in place harms the immune system, both of which are true. Yes. One of the videos shared on Facebook by someone claiming to be one of the filmmakers have been viewed more than 1.7 million times and shared more than 140,000 times as of Thursday alone. Facebook told CNBC the video violated its policy it would be removed, suggesting that wearing a mask can make you sick could lead to imminent harm, so we're removing the video. Let me tell you something. And I came across the article again today about the man who was driving his car with his windows rolled up, by himself with a mask on. And the man passed out for lack of oxygen. Yeah. It is appalling what we're seeing in this country. I am absolutely convinced, now more so, when we're reading about this bill that was written 11 months before the final written version of the bill was signed into law. And yet the original bill was written nearly 10, 11 months before anybody even heard of coronavirus. This is unbelievable. YouTube received more than 1 million views before it was removed, according to the MIT Technology Review. The company, YouTube, said the video, one of the three on the site, was scrapped for making claims about a cure for the virus, which had not been backed by health organizations. Well, I'm sorry, most health organizations are out for one thing, the money, the profit. Well, the other two were borderline, meaning YouTube decided they didn't violate the rules, but they would no longer be recommended or show up prominently in search results. Vimeo also said the video is removed for violating standards regarding content that spreads harmful and misleading health information. Oh, maybe we should go ahead and remove the AMA for spreading harmful and misleading health information. Meanwhile, Twitter said it had banned the hashtags of plague of corruption and plandemic movie from trends and searches. I've got to ask this question. Am I that totally off the edge? Have I gone so far off the deep end that I don't get it? I mean, if that's the case, then maybe I shouldn't even be here. But the fact of the matter is, there's too many other arguments that raise questions against those who are blocking these kind of videos. People have got a right to see these things and come to some of their own determinations. What kind of a headline is this? A Florida woman was arrested for beating her husband with Mother's Day flowers. Oh my God, who cares? People, I believe, need to be presented both sides of a story, both sides of what's going on. But for some reason, somebody somewhere is desperately trying to block all this. Dr. Fauci and Bill Gates, the self-proclaimed doctor, of course he doesn't call himself that, but he's acting like one. Where do these people get off telling us that you're going to accept the vaccine and we're going to keep you under lock and key? You're going to stay in your homes. You're going to stay here. You're going to stay there. I'm overlooking at something right now. I'm just scrolling through another article that's not promoting the film. But here's another video that's been blocked. Anything out there that is raising a question about what we are being told and how it's being dealt with is being blocked. They want no discussion. Do you get it? They want absolutely no discussion. You will hear what we tell you, and you will believe it and do what we tell you to do. Sad. Amazingly sad. Michael, I'm going to send something over to you here in just a moment. And, you know, we have continued to close this program with George Michael every night for, you know, almost since the inception of this program. I sometimes have to sit back. I find myself doing something more these days than I think I've ever done my entire life because I see. Are we there? No, pull it, man. Pull it. I'm going to shoot this over to you. Because we got time. It's a minute and 10 seconds. Okay. And I'm going to shoot this over to you right now. And that's all it lasts, a minute and 10 seconds. We're going to use this to close. And I think people will understand why. Would you, damn it, sorry about that, I forgot to hit the send. I got to mention, I find myself doing something more today than I have in most of my life. It's not because of me, it's not because of, I'm not asking for something for myself. What did I send you? I did? You're kidding me. All right. Sorry about that. This should not be that same intro. This is different. Hang on, folks. We got a little minor of an issue. Let's try this. Okay, there we go. Sorry about that. And it better be a different one, or I'm getting a double click here. Anyway, I have my very distinct beliefs. I'm not one that runs to church every Sunday. I'm not one that runs there on Easter Sunday and Christmas Eve just to show the world that I'm a Christian or whatever. It's how one conducts themselves. It's how one believes. It's how one thinks. And you don't have to go along with me. You don't have to agree with me. It's my thing. I find myself in a position today where I am probably extending far more prayers than I ever had in my life. But it's not for me. It's not even directly for my family. It's for all of us. It's for the people that don't get it. It's the people that don't listen. The people who are presented options in life. People who are presented two sides of a story that don't want to listen. They don't want to hear it. Oh, the Lord will provide. No, the Lord provides you with information. The Lord provides you with programs such as mine and others, or examples out there in the street, or examples with your neighbors or people and friends. These are the lessons we are supposed to learn and gather from, in my opinion. You don't have to agree with that either. I'm stating my opinion, not necessarily yours. So, think through all of this. Read, study, share. Don't let, just because someone tells you we're pulling a video down because there's lies and deceits in it. How about shutting up Fauci? Because I don't trust a word that comes out of his mouth. Let's shut up Bill Gates because I don't trust the word that comes out of their mouths. I know who they've associated with. There's too many photographs of them out there rubbing elbows with the rich, the stinking, and the filthy. The Clintons, the Epsteins in some instances, and others. It's a cabal. It's a clique. It's unbelievable. And so tonight, in just a moment, we're going to close this program with something just a little bit of difference. And I hope you'll think, 1965. Lord willing, I'll see you tomorrow night. Thanks for being with us.
Is the Second Amendment your line in the sand? Is the United States Constitution important to you? Are you worried about gun confiscation? You need to join us for free at gunconfiscation.com. At gunconfiscation.com, you will meet like-minded patriots, get the latest Second Amendment news, and find anything you need to prepare for gun confiscation. Visit gunconfiscation.com today. That's gunconfiscation.com. Which side are you on?
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.